Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of Scottish topics and music. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. On this episode, part two of a profile of Sir Thomas Lipton, the successful businessman, tea baron, and yachtsman. I enjoy hearing from listeners. Take a moment to share your thoughts on the show today. You can post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/simplyscottish. Send us a tweet, our handle is @simplyscottish. Or email us at www.simplyscottish.com. If you enjoy the show, share it with a friend. As a reminder, the show is available on iTunes, on the Celtic Radio Network at celticradio.net, and at our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Beginning the show, as we always do, with music. This is Runrig with And We'll Sing.
We will cherish our own on that knows it lasts forever.
In part one of our profile, we surveyed Lipton's rise to fame from humble beginnings. His parents had immigrated to Scotland from Ireland during the potato famine and ran a small grocer's store on Crown Street in Glasgow. Young Lipton assisted his parents there until age 12, when he left school to find employment. At 15, he sailed to New York, determined to make something of himself. At age 20, he returned to Scotland and immediately put into effect things he had learned about sales in America. He turned the fortunes of his parents' store, and on his 21st birthday, he opened his own shop in Glasgow. Through hard work, innovative advertising, and dedication to his goals, Lipton turned one store into a grocery empire. By 1888, he was operating over 300 markets across Great Britain, making him a multimillionaire by the time he was 40 years old. In the late 1880s, Lipton began toying with the idea of adding tea to the product lineup of his stores. In the second half of the 19th century, tea prices were falling and demand was growing, although it was still very much a drink of the middle and upper classes. In the face of offers from London's established tea merchants, Lipton began to consider how he could acquire his tea wholesale and sell it at the cheapest prices to the untapped lower classes. It obviously meant cutting out the middlemen, and this he did. It also meant finding the right blend. Lipton brought together his own group of tea professionals, and after several attempts, a special blend of tea was established. In his autobiography, Lipton recalls this epoch-making day in the history of his firm. "We sipped it, we drank it, we smelt it, we rolled it on our palates and on our lips, looking at each other all the while. We also compared it with brews made from much more expensive samples. The Lipton 1 and 7 penny tea more than held its own. We called in several members of the ordinary staff, and they also agreed that they'd never tasted so good a cup of tea." Demand for Lipton's inexpensive yet satisfying blend of tea was high. His stores broke sales records. Two more Lipton blends were added. Lipton began selling his tea in pound, half-pound, and quarter-pound packets. Customers and shopkeepers alike appreciated the clearly marked, easier-to-handle packets. Lipton soon discovered that the water of each town and district varied and could affect the taste of the tea. He had each shop send samples of their local water so that his tea department in London could prepare the most suitable blends. In this way, he was able to advertise the perfect tea to suit the water of your own town. How many of his competitors could say that? Less than a year after adding tea to his grocery empire, Lipton had the opportunity to purchase estates in Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, after a coffee crop failure on the island had rendered them unproductive. Intrigued, Lipton immediately booked passage to Colombo, and after a brief survey of the land, invested over £100,000 in several plantations. He set about improving the conditions of the properties and installing modern machinery. He established a system of wireways to transport tea leaves from the hillsides down to the factories where the tea was manufactured and packaged. Soon, he was able to boast that Lipton tea came direct from the tea garden to the teapot. More about Lipton in the tea trade, and details of his favourite pastime, yachting, after some music. From the Lismore Recordings album Now, this is the Alexander Brothers with the Flying Scotsman. Thank you. You're listening to Simply Scottish. Lipton tea was extremely popular, and since Lipton controlled the process from the tea garden to the teapot, he could afford to sell the tea cheaper than anyone else. By this time, Lipton owned packing houses in Omaha and Chicago that supplied ham to Americans, as well as his own Lipton grocery chain in Britain. Soon, he resolved to begin selling his tea in America too. He quickly discovered that there was virtually no tea trade here. It was not widely available in stores and restaurants, and where it was available, it was green tea, not black, and often poorly stored. Again, he brought together a capable group of agents, and in no time, orders began pouring in from retailers and merchants all over the states. This, coupled with an extensive advertising campaign, saw Lipton tea become a popular beverage from New York to San Francisco, and from Toronto to New Orleans. From an early age, boating fascinated Lipton. He made toy boats to race with his friends. He hung out around the docks of the River Clyde, meeting seamen from around the globe and dreaming up notions of his own world travel. Although he made multiple trips back and forth across the Atlantic, it wasn't until 1898 when he finally purchased a private yacht, the Erin. This allowed him more frequent respites from business. Over the years, he entertained a number of prominent guests on the Erin, including His Majesty King Edward, President Roosevelt, Mark Twain, Thomas Alva Edison, and a host of royal personages from Great Britain and Europe. A year after Erin, Lipton decided to enter the America's Cup. He had followed the fortunes of several challengers of this distinguished boating competition, a number of them built on the River Clyde in Glasgow. It was time for Britain to regain the trophy that America had clinched when the America's Cup began in 1851 as a contest between American and British yachts. And Lipton was going to try to be the man to do it. As he himself said, "Neither money, nor time, nor trouble, aye, nor disappointment, have marred my joy in the pursuit of it. It has kept me young, eager, buoyant, and hopeful. It has brought me health and splendid friends." Lipton made 5 attempts to win the America's Cup. He came close a few times, and was beaten fair and square other times. Each time he raced a new purpose-built challenger, the Shamrock Series, 1-5. And although he lost each attempt, he did so gracefully and with much good humour, and his reputation grew stateside as he earned the respect of many. For his valiant efforts, Lipton was awarded a specially made cup for the best of all losers. He was given the freedom of Chicago and made an honorary police chief in New York. Late in life, he was admitted to the Royal Yacht Squadron, and in 1993, he was inducted into the America's Cup Hall of Fame. At the outbreak of World War in 1914, the pleasure activities of sailing took a back seat. Lipton converted his private yacht Erin to a hospital ship for the Allies and began transporting doctors and nurses to France with the British Red Cross. He was soon transferred to the Mediterranean for similar duty between Marseille and Salonika. In Serbia, he experienced firsthand the effects of a typhus epidemic on Allied soldiers. He remained in Serbia, where he earned the affectionate nickname Chica Toma, Uncle Tom, until the enemy invasion forced him to leave. He left behind the Erin, which was used by the British Admiralty as a patrol ship until she was torpedoed by a submarine. As he reached old age, Lipton reluctantly retired from his business. He continued to engage in philanthropy and yachting until his death at his home in London in 1931. He bequeathed the majority of his fortune to his native city of Glasgow, including his yachting trophies, which are now on display at the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum. He was buried alongside his parents and siblings in Glasgow. Up next, a look at the Lipton brand today, and we share some of Lipton's secrets to success.
Let's go up the hillside to the highest ridge of Storr, where the lapwing sings a eulogy at the wonder of it all. As the evening shadows plunder the cloak around the world, we remember all the mornings at the heart of it At the heart of it all is a calling to this land. In the words of our salvation is a song for the common man. At the heart of it all is a story to be told for the sake of our salvation and the troubles we behold. You can see the river rising, its banks will creak and slide. There's a silence in the evergreens and a surging of the tide. Well, it's nature's way of saying our backs are up against the wall by the hush of the world in the lull before the storm. At the heart of it all is a calling to this land. In the words of our salvation is a song for the common man. At the heart of it all is a story troubles we of sorely machgelein, they tumble and cascade across the page of every man. They will rise and spring to life again in a song for the good of all. We're a people and their land are at the heart of it all. At the heart of it all is a call is a song for the common man. At the heart of it all is a story to be told for the sake of our salvation and the troubles we
That was Capper Cayley with At the Heart of It All, the title track from their 2013 album on Compass Records. This is Simply Scottish. On this episode, the inspiring story of Sir Thomas Lipton, who rose from poverty to great success as a businessman. William Blackwood, Lipton's co-writer on his autobiography, said that Lipton built up a business the like of which no single man had ever been responsible for in the history of shopkeeping. For 40 years and more, he worked like a galley slave, not because he had to, but because he loved working. A great testament to his hard work and dedication is the fact that the Lipton brand is still going strong today. Lipton is the world's best-selling tea brand, and is available in more than 150 countries. The brand, now owned by Unilever, is available as loose-leaf tea, tea bags, iced tea, zero-calorie infusions, and healthy green tea. And Lipton's tradition of innovation continues, with Unilever working to ensure that all Lipton tea is harvested from farms that respect good conservation practices and fair wages. Yes, these things would make Sir Lipton proud, and I think he'd get a kick out of the fact that his tea has 4.5 million likes on Facebook. In his autobiography, Lipton shares the story of his success in business and in life, and reveals the principles by which he lived. To conclude our two-part profile, we share a few of his secrets to success. First, to tap into your natural strengths, remember from who and where you came. Lipton said he owed everything to his parents, who immigrated to Scotland to build a better life, and who instilled in him many of the qualities that helped him throughout life. In addition, he never forgot his Irish roots. He supported local Irish farms for years, and made many lasting friendships in America based on the strength of his Irish ancestry. Second, work late and early. As he set out to build his grocery empire, Lipton was often there before dawn and well after dark, sometimes even sleeping behind the counter. Third, look for opportunities to impress. As soon as he got off the boat in New York, an industrious teenage Lipton secured his first week's lodging by speaking up, being creative, and using his natural abilities. Fourth, trust in the inscrutable workings of Providence. Lipton believed you need fear nothing as long as you fear God. Lipton used biblical principles such as a gentle answer turns away wrath in his business dealings, helping him to earn a reputation as a man of integrity. And fifth, always look forward. Tomorrow has always been for me a more fascinating day than yesterday, Lipton said. The yesterdays have gone, the tomorrows remain. To learn more about Sir Thomas Lipton's extraordinary life, I recommend reading his autobiography. While it's obviously coloured by the rosy perspective of a successful man looking back, it gives you a great first-hand sense of Lipton's accomplishments, along with some entertaining stories. Another more recent biography of Lipton, called A Full Cup by Michael D'Antonio, explores Lipton's achievements, and in particular his public persona, and how he made himself into one of the most recognisable figures of his time. If you haven't tuned in to part one of our profile on Lipton, it's available on iTunes and at simplyscottish.com. Learn more about his innovative advertising methods and listen to my dad's personal recollections of the Lipton markets and that drink that made Lipton a household name. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. Share your comments on this show and listen to others at simplyscottish.com. And if you enjoyed the music on this episode, enter our monthly music giveaway for a chance to win a free Scottish album of your choice, sponsored by musicscotland.com. Enter online at www.simplyscottish.com. We'll conclude with new music from Glasgow singer Mabel Boyle. Here's the title track from her album, Being Patient. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for another helping of All Things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright 2013, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
Bite hard on my tongue, digging. cost me dear in trying to get ahead. So I took my time, now I'll take what's mine. I won't wait for a second chance of fate. But I'm still young, bite hard on my tongue, digging in to finish what I began. 'Cause I'm getting older day by day, cynical and losing faith in